Okay, it is time for With Chat here on Radio Wivenhoe. And we're getting, I think, quite a bit of a run together, quite a role of speaking to local characters around the town. And it's the characters that I like to focus upon. People that have got a really interesting background or maybe a story to tell. And I invite them around here to my house. We have a drink. It could be tea. It could be red wine. It could be beer, as is the case this evening. Although we've really only had a few sips, so it's still very, very sober. And we just really explore a few ideas, see where the conversation goes, and it is as free fall as that. Now, I say characters, I'm really quite excited. I think I've hit quite a good run here. I've got a local character who has got many, many, I think, different facets to his background and what he's been involved in the past 30, 40 years in and around Wivenhoe. And there's some fairly diverse areas we can explore. And so, that's the introduction. Let's go with the conversation. So, gentlemen, please, your name is?
Lewis Futtering.
So I'm speaking with Lewis Futtering, who many folk must know around the town. Lewis, this is always the obvious first question to ask people. So when were you first aware, or when did you first come to Wivenhoe, please?
I came to Wivenhoe because I'd started working on the ferries at Harwich. They belonged to the railways at that time, back in the dim and murky past. 1959, I'd started to work for the ferries, having sort of half swallowed the anchor, I said, would be a description, because I'd been around the world sailing in my deep sea days and decided that I was losing all my friends as I'd be away for 6 months or maybe 9 months around the world and come back home and find that another one had sort of emigrated, gone this, done that. So I decided to try and get a job on a more regular basis, with a regular run where you could come home on some nights. And I started working on the ferries. Well, after a while, about 18 months, I was required, if I wanted to be permanently employed there, I needed to live within striking distance of Harwich. Now that left me with a choice. I could either go and live in Harwich, which would have made sense geographically, but the whole of Harwich and Parkston and Dovercourt, the structure of the society was totally dependent upon your rank on the ship, or the kings of the area were the pilots, and captains of ships were senior, obviously, to chief officers and others. But it meant that if, as I was an officer, if I were seen drinking with, say, the bosun, one of the ABs or one of the stewards, and I was socialising, it would be get some heavy comments. So I didn't wish to be in that sort of society. So I looked around and ultimately happened on Wivenhoe, where I bought a cottage down, it's one of a block of four in West Street that towards the station end. And I paid £500 for it. Two up and two down, and an outside toilet and a coal bunker.
So that's quite interesting, because obviously sailing and being on the sea is something which has been part of your life.
Oh, yes.
And then coming to Wivenhoe is a sailing town.
Yep.
And I like the idea about what you were saying, having the rank and file in Harwich. Now, as I go about my business in Wivenhoe, and the more I ask questions and the more I observe what is going off, this is relatively quite a classless place. And so you can go to the Rose and Crown and you can drink with somebody and then ask them, oh, and by the way, what's your job, or what have you done in the past? And these people have had some fairly lofty positions.
Yes.
But yeah, it does seem to fit that fairly classless idea.
That's as close as you generally get. And it wasn't exactly like that in the past, but if they didn't know much about you, then you can exist on any level you like. But it was never one of those societies that was ridden with class distinction. There was, I suppose, to a certain extent, but I'm going back to 1961, 62, and that was throughout the kingdom, I would guess. But it was less here.
Mm.
A much more relaxing place to be yourself rather than what people expected you to be.
So this was in the early 60s, and you more or less stumbled, you were thrust into Wivenhoe society because you had to live somewhere fairly close to your job.
Yes.
So when you were looking around for somewhere and you didn't like the idea of Dovercourt or Harwich, had you heard of Wivenhoe? Were you aware of the place?
Not exactly, although only one or two people on the ship were that they lived in Wivenhoe. Pat Ellis was one. He was a chief engineer ultimately, but he died recently, as it happens. And he was a stalwart of the sailing club. I think, as much as anything, I suppose I followed his advice, plus the fact that I was able to find this cottage. And I wasn't married at that time, by the way. All I wanted was a little pied-à-terre and £500. I could just about get that together and buy it.
And when you first arrived, did you think that this would be a place where you'd be setting up roots, and could you see a long-term future, or was it just really a stopgap for your commuting situation?
I don't think I planned as far as that. It was a stopgap, yeah. I did originally have plans of perhaps really establishing myself ashore rather than carrying on working on the ferry. And if you're way deep sea, you never get a chance of finding a job until you get back home. And you never know when you're going to get back home. Well, you didn't at that time. I don't know what I really thought. I did have my eye on even packing up with the ferries and progressing this career in electronics, which was my background on the ship. So, but it kind of grew on me.
I'd imagine living around West Street as well.
Yeah.
That is a place which is very, very favourable, and I imagine it's probably quite difficult to live down there and have any negative feelings towards the town.
And it was facing a busy shipyard.
Home from home, busman's holiday almost.
Yeah, close to the dry dock. As it happens, though, being very marriageable, I only lasted for about 6 months on my own with a house and a good job. Let's say I did fall for a young lady, which didn't happen to be Marika. Marika came some time later.
And that's your current partner, people yes. can point out, yes.
Yes. So, and she wasn't from Wivenhoe. She was from the South End area, where I was living pre-coming to Wivenhoe. And so, yes, we got married, and then quite shortly, almost 9 months to the day, my wife delivered my eldest son, and we decided soon after that we needed something bigger than a two up, two down. So we moved just up the road to the high street behind where your house is now.
So that must have meant then, Lewis, that there was something about Wivenhoe that you thought, yes, let's stay here. Because it must have been being on the property ladder, even sort of then in the 60s, this horrid phrase of property ladder. But then once you are established, you could have moved pretty much anywhere in this area was within commuting distance of Harwich. But right from that early period, Wivenhoe held something for you.
Oh, it had a charm, yes. I was rapidly meeting people who interested me.
Is that in a sort of social drinking context or work context?
Yes, The Greyhound was a very busy local pub at that time, with fierce competition in darts. And you had to be careful the way you walked through the bar. Have your eye out.
So was this local people playing darts, or was it people working in the shipyard who were passing through, maybe?
Most of the people who worked in the shipyard were living locally. I'm trying to think. There were some who had migrated from the northeast. They were already losing a bit of shipbuilding work up there in the 60s. There were a few in Northern Irish, one or two I remember. So it continued being quite busy shipbuilding in Wivenhoe for some years.
Hmm.
And it's kind of a sad day when it all tapered off.